Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A lot of other things grind my gears, too.
Cubs win. Gordon Wittenmeyer taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs
win.
Chicago Cubs. Hey!
The Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon Wittenmeyer.
Get off my lawn.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's always fun to talk to Gordon Wittenmeyer, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Morning, Gordon.
Morning. What do you guys want?
Yeah. We want to know if you, Darvish, made progress. This is a very unpopular opinion, but I watched that game yesterday, and I thought it was one of his best starts.
This is the strangest I've ever felt writing a story last night. I'm watching him thinking the same thing. Oh. I mean, I'm the first one in line to get critical. And he's had, three starts last year where we went six innings, one of them where he didn't allow a run. This was his best start. And I'll tell you why, because those other starts, there was no adversity whatsoever that he faced. Every time he faced any type of adversity last year or earlier this year, he unraveled at some point. There were three or four moments last night where I thought, okay, this is it. This is where he unravels. And he didn't. He just stuck to the game plan. He kept pounding the strike zone. He threw strikes with his fastball. He wasn't afraid of his fastball. Now, somebody convinced him that this was a night where you don't have to be afraid of your fastball. And not only did he believe in it and buy in, but when weird things happen, like he gives up a home run in the wind, or he hits the pitcher when a ball gets away from him, it didn't lead to anything worse. Mm-hmm. And he came right back. And I would have left him in the game.
Okay,
I would have left him in the sixth.
Okay, Mr. Happy. So, yes, he did show some progress. He did show progress. So, and Joe talked afterward about the confidence that he has in him and everything that was positive.
It was more than progress. That was a hell of a game.
Okay. Why was he taken out after 77 pitches and two infield singles? I mean, that was a guy who could have kept going and probably should have kept going.
I agree. My take was that Joe did the same thing that he said multiple times. He said it last year. He said it after his last start when he took him out. I want him to feel good about himself. Now, he wouldn't say that last night. He said it was all about trying to get the double play. They thought they had the exact right matchup, and I'm not gonna discount that all their paperwork said that. And so, but I don't think that gets done if the other thing's not in play too. If they don't think that it's important that he have this as a building block. Now, in my mind, he was pitching well enough. He basically pitched a 1-2-3 inning in the sixth. Those two hits that put men on first and third with one out were, completely weak hit balls. They were infield hits. One was a check swing. He basically got the contact he needed to get the outs. I didn't see any reason why he couldn't still pitch well. He was doing everything right, doing everything well to that point. If he gets out of that inning, or if he gets out of that inning with limited damage, I think he feels better than he feels leaving when he did. Even if Kyle Ryan gets out of it, which, of course, he didn't.
Jason Heyward hit his fourth home run. He had eight last year. What's the number to aim for now? Can he be a 20-homer guy? Can he hit 30? He'll get nine?
he's hit four in, five games, I believe it is. He's never hit four in a month for the Cubs before.
Wow.
So, I mean, it is a big deal. Whatever we're seeing here is a first with him. And he seems to think it's something different. Joe seems to think it's sustainable. A couple of teammates talked separately about thinking they're seeing a different Heyward. I'm not going to believe it until it lasts a little longer than five games. but it's certainly an early encouraging thing to see. Shoot, if he does this, if he does what he's done in five games, just each month of the season, that's 24 home runs. So, he's one of the most interesting storylines to watch going forward.
What about Chris Bryant?
Anybody on that team?
Gordon, Chris Bryant, what are you seeing when you watch him at bat? Because he is a guy who, after a strong spring, has struggled.
Yeah, I still don't know on that. I mean, it's still a jury is out thing. I mean, we talked about that the other day. And the only reason why you even bring it up is because of the shoulder last year. I want to see more. Last night was cold, and it was a beautiful day on the opener, and it was climate controlled in Milwaukee when he had a couple of rough games. The swing is a little more exaggerated right now, and maybe that's a good sign, because if he's even more uppercut, or if the swing looks even bigger, then maybe that's a sign that the shoulder's not bothering. So I just hang in there for a little while longer. He's been so good when he's healthy. There's never been he hasn't not been good when he's healthy. He had one stretch for about a month as a rookie, but beyond that, he's put up MVP competitive numbers when he's healthy. His whole career. So as short as that is, I just don't know the judgment's going to be made at this point.
I'm a little surprised that after 11 games, the Cubs have only got three wins. And I think that as you look at where they're at in the standings, four games out, I mean, it's so early and there's so much time left. They go on a run, but they got to go on a run just to get to 500 to start their run. You know what I mean? It's such a disappointing beginning to the season. Where are they at with it? The idea of October and in April is over, and
October starts in March.
I'm sorry. No one wants to be under pressure. Nobody wants to worry about anything. But no one can be too delighted with what's happened.
No, and Lester's injury only makes it worse.
Right.
Obviously, the thing that it hasn't changed. Like, okay, so they're 3-8. Nothing's changed really since basically Atlanta. Maybe the first game in Milwaukee. They had those six losses in a row, almost all of it attributable to the lousy bullpen performance. You take that out of there, and it's just a normal start. Now, you can't take that out of there. That's not what I'm suggesting. But it's not, it's not an 11-game start as much as it's this blip for six games, this really god-awful six games that happened to come in their first seven. Mm. Now, that doesn't change the fact that you're right. They're already buried five games under 500. If they go 10-5, they're 500 instead of building on already being 500 and starting to raise that winning record. It's they say you can't lose a pennant in April. You can't win a pennant in April, but you can lose one. That's kind of what they're battling right now. They need to get the ship righted quickly in April. They need to get to the point where they have something to build off by the end of this month, or else this could easily drag into a season-long fight, getting to 500, getting a little over 500, falling back a little closer to 500. I mean, if things go well, and then you're never quite competitive. It's something that's got to turn quickly. The bullpen has pitched well, better since then. So there's that. I still think they need more arms that they didn't get. So we'll see if that continues, if this continues, or whether that winds up costing them after all.
Gordon, did they make the right decision in saying that Tyler Chatwood will start Sunday in place of Lester? What were their other options, and what did you think?
They had no other options. Mike Montgomery's on the IL until at least Monday, and he didn't pitch well before then. And the injury is not really a significant injury to begin with. So you're not sure that he's even pitching well if he's right. You got nobody else in-house who can make that start.
Iowa?
And give you And yeah, right. So you're going to Iowa or you're going bullpen day. You can't go bullpen day. And I don't think there's anybody in Iowa that you can point to and say, I'm going to get a start out of that guy. So this is where you're at. He's pitched just well enough or just not poorly enough to think that he might be able to give you four or five innings. And it should be reasonable. It's literally what he's getting paid for. But after you did it all, this is what you came up with. Now, they can use off days. Even with no rainouts, they can use off days to not need that fifth starter again, the Lester starter, until at least April 27th. Joe, unsolicited, brought up yesterday that if they get a rainout, not that we want that, but if we got a rainout, then it would, we could even go further. And if you look at the calendar, that means into that first full week of May, which is that first homestand in May when they got a bunch of games in a row, that would be the next time they would need that guy. So they're already, I mean, this tells you that this is their only option because they're not looking at using him twice. They're looking at going to a four-man rotation after that for as long as they can until Lester can come back. So to answer your question, what were their options? Why chat? He's their only option.
Kenny Rosenthal wrote in The Athletic earlier this week, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be writing a lot of things as we move forward.
This all happened because Ken Rosenthal wrote an article.
But he said that if this keeps up, Theo could have a fire sale, and it wouldn't be Miller and Chapman, but it would be Hamill, Zobrist, Morrow, Cishek, Kinsler, Brock, Pedro Strop. Basically, that there was a lot of trade fodder with expiring contracts for guys. Sure. It's an obvious storyline if you get to the midway point of the season like this.
It's an obvious storyline, and it's the obvious list of players. We were talking about it in the press box the other day. What if this thing keeps going? Who are the guys? And we rattled off exactly. I mean, it's obvious.
Yep.
And so, do you want to write that now? Okay, it's your prerogative. Sounds like something I'd write now.
It's a little early. It's a little early,
it's
Gordon.
It's way early for it.
I'd say it to you,
too. And I agree. Yeah. But the point is...
Press box wag says a little early.
But the point is that there are options, right? I mean, you could conceivably be able to turn this thing around very quickly if you wanted to, you know, rid yourself of certain salaries, etc. And you know, Chatty's not even on that, and I don't know that there's anything you can get for him, but wouldn't he be
well,
a guy?
I mean, that's the point of that.
Yeah.
You know, the same way with, you know, somebody like Hayward, if you consider Hayward's value the last few years as opposed to the last five games. But Chatwood's already basically on the block. If somebody wants him, then come get him. It's the trade value guy. The classic trade deadline guys are the Brennan players. They're the guys that anybody will pick up because anybody can handle those contracts. Are you talking about going forward if they did that, how quick they could turn it around?
Yes. You could be back, you know, a significantly better team.
It'd be
team.
A reset more than a rebuild.
It wouldn't, exactly.
Well, because
another year
because
or two.
Most of these players you're talking about aren't players that are even
long-term
even considering
right.
bringing back. And if you were, you still could. So these are probably your reset guys anyway. Like I say, you get to the end of the season, let's say you're competitive and it fell short. Let's say you're competitive and you fought into a couple of rounds of October and everything's looking great and you're thinking, we really have something here with the core. Those are still the players that you've got to make contract decisions on at the end of the year, and they're probably gone anyway. So you're resetting with those players anyway. You're swapping them out for whatever you're going to do next year anyway. So yeah, it's to go back to that story. I mean, it's an obvious story, and it really doesn't have a major impact of where you're going to go long term anyway.
All righty, Gordon. Yeah,
good stuff, Grumpy.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, now get off my lawn.
That's our guy, Gordon Whitmire.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.